Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Warren G. Harding, Teddy Roosevelt, Jimmy Carter, and a host of other presidents are coming to town. Actually, they should be in town by now on the lapels of political button collectors. The American Political Items Collectors National Convention begins today in downtown Columbus. As the presidential election draws near, political enthusiasts from around the country gather to display, sell, and enjoy these many, many objects. Coming up, joining us today is Jack Dixie, co-chairman of the convention. He is on the organization's board of directors and has been collecting political items for more than 40 years. Welcome to the show, Jack.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Also with us is Al Anderson. He started collecting as a high schooler in 1960. He runs the Anderson Americana auction site. And with Jack Dixie is co-chairman of the event. Welcome to the show, Al.
Thank you, Ann.
And State House reporter Bill Cohen has been collecting political memorabilia for years. You've probably seen a lot of it if you go to his 60s coffee house in November after the election every year. He's joining us today as well to talk about his collection. Welcome to the show, Bill Cohen.
Thank you.
Question for our listeners. Are you a collector of political memorabilia? Give us a call and share your favorite item or your favorite button, and maybe these experts can tell you whether it's worth anything or what its significance might be beyond just the fact that you like the colors and the face. So, Jack and Al, your organization represents all kinds of political memorabilia. Are buttons the biggest, most popular memorabilia,
Al? Absolutely. I would say probably 80, 90% of the collectors collect buttons, but there are people who specialize in textiles, pre-1896 items, license plates.
There's quite a variety of items beyond buttons that are collected, whether it's postcards, sheet music, banners, ribbons. Prior to 1896, there weren't buttons as we know them. That the pre-96, as we call it, that's certainly a viable category, along with particular candidates: Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, John Kennedy. All seem to be particularly having interest in the collectors.
And the reason I think a lot of us get such a kick out of this, it's a painless way to learn about politics and history. I mean, just about every button you have has some slogan on it, some name, and some of them are very recognizable, others are not. And especially the ones that aren't all that recognizable, they have a story to tell. You say, oh, yeah, that was the guy who challenged Jim Rhodes in the primary back in 74. Or, oh, that was the guy who ran for state rep and he lost, but then he went on to a huge career as a consultant or whatever. So it's very painless. It's a lot of fun.
You, Bill, put three buttons in front of me. One, and so I thought we'd talk about the historical or what the significance of each of them is. One is a suitcase. It's sort of stuffed. It looks like it's coming apart, and it says jar on it.
Yeah, that's kind of an insider button. I think that's from 1978. That's J-A-R is the name tag on that piece of luggage. Dick Celeste was lieutenant governor at the time. He was running against a veteran incumbent, Jim Rhodes, for governor.
And James
he
A.
used
Rhodes.
To punctuate mm-hmm. his speeches. Celeste would. He was a good speaker. He'd say, James A. Rhodes, pack your bags. Well, the Celestials loved it. They cheered. The voters, though, didn't buy it. They didn't elect Dick Celeste that year. 4 years later in 82, they did. But so it just shows you, you know, you can come up with a clever button, maybe a little too insidery, though. Buttons don't win you elections, but they're still a lot of fun.
Yeah. Is something, a button like this, would that have been a sort of a limited edition? It wouldn't have been the numbers that, say, just a Celeste for governor button might have.
Yeah,
done.
You're right. There's real common ones that says Celeste, period, and his name underlined. Yeah, you'll see those by the thousands. But this luggage one, I think, is pretty rare. I think it's kind of mostly the insider, as we call them, the Celestials, the inner staff. Oh. They got that button.
Celestials, right. Yeah, if you're just good. Joining us, we're talking about political buttons, political memorabilia. There is a convention this weekend in town, a national convention of the American Political Items Collectors. It begins today in downtown Columbus. For more information, we'll have a link to their website at WOSU.org/allsides. If you have a question or comment for our guests, Jack Dixie and Al Anderson are the co-chairs of the American Political Items Collectors National Convention. And also with us, Bill Cohen, correspondent for Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau and an avid political item collector. Paul in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you. I have been a collector. I haven't been very active recently, but I've got several old posters from like 1968, 72, 76, to that in that range, and they've been rolled up for years. And I know, you know, they. My basic question is how do I deal with those if I want to try to sell them or restore them or you know, what would you suggest?
As far as are you looking to display them? You're saying they've been rolled up so long you can't unroll them without
tearing them. I'm afraid that they'll tear or something, and I don't want to just start unrolling stuff and cause more problems.
So first of all, having them rolled up for so many years, was that wise? I mean, is that usually a pretty good way to store a poster?
That's the preferred way.
Okay.
Folding the posters with creases, you know, then you're going to have creases, and the creases are going to be there, and that's going to cut down on the value of them. So a rolled poster is ideal. If many collectors will have them what's called shrink-wrapped with plastic and a form board behind it to protect it. But at some point, you're just going to have to unroll those very, very carefully. And we will see, but I think you're going to be surprised.
That's certainly a good era as far as a lot of. Do you know the subject of the posters that you have? Are they anti-war type of posters or anti-Nixon?
I've got a couple of Rockefeller, large Rockefeller for President posters from '68. Probably a couple of anti-war. There's a couple of Gilligan. There's probably Humphrey and Muskie in that range.
You know, one thing you can do with these, I think they still do this at the conventions, the state convention and the national. If people have a button or several or posters, they can bring them down to the convention and have a lot of the dealers there evaluate it. They might want to buy the items. I think at one point, don't you sometimes put those up for auction?
Correct. We do free appraisals if you'd like to bring them to the Crown Plaza on the north side of town there. That's where the convention's being held. We do offer free appraisals, and if it is something that you would want to part with, why would even, if the quality is there, we would put it up for auction right at the show area.
One other item I do have, I happen to be an aide to the Republican convention as a college student in 1968 in Miami, and picked up press releases of the speeches as they were given on the floor of the convention. I even have one that was signed by, I think John Lindsay was a keynote speaker, and I have an autographed copy of the speech he gave. I totally changed directions politically. A couple of years after it was there. So not that I'm not interested in it, but I just wonder if anybody would have any interest in those kind of original press release copies of.
It's a shame. It's a shame you waited until after 68, the 68 Democratic convention in Chicago, which was quite historic, is probably of much greater interest than the Republican one for that year.
Sure.
Just because of the.
The riots
all of the turmoil that was going on with that, and as far
so
as
once
press
again
releases,
the historical significance is really paramount. Just having the actual item there, if there's an event or some controversy or something associated with it, makes it much more interesting.
Right.
Although I don't know that that's always deals with the worth of it. For instance, I'm always frustrated because I've got all these anti-war buttons, civil rights buttons rather from the 1960s, and I find that, you know, when I see them for sale, I say, well, here's a Clinton button from 1996 getting the same amount as some button that I think has a lot more passion to it, a lot more history to it.
So it's kind of like art. You got to love the button, too, to a certain extent, and that's part of the value?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really deal with them so much in terms of worth as just, you know, the memories they provoke and the history lesson they provoke. But it's not always based on how controversial something is or how old it is. I don't know. I guess it just the free market just sets a price.
Well, Paul, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Take care. I remember my dad always had a letter from Richard Nixon. After the first time he ran, my dad had helped with that campaign at the local level, wherever they were. And he had a letter thanking him for his help. And I saw it hanging up always in his office. And then one day when he moved, it was in his house. And I said, Dad, why do you put that on the door inside your bedroom? That's an odd place to hang a letter like that. And this was, of course, back in 1975. And he said, that's so every morning when I get up, I can always remember that you can't always believe what you read. Interesting. But once again, may not be of value to just anybody particularly, but it may have particular significance for the individual. Let's talk about another button, Bill. It says Nixon Rhodes on it.
Yeah, it's got a picture of Nixon and Rhodes on it. And you go, my goodness, wait a minute. Did Jim Rhodes run with Richard Nixon? What the heck is that about? What I think that is, it's probably from 1968. You know, the presidential candidates, they love to flatter all these governors and senators by making them say, oh, I might pick you for vice president. I might, you know, and their boosters, of course, sometimes put out buttons. Yeah, pick John Glenn as Dukakis's running mate. Yeah, do that. Pick Rob Portman as the running mate for Romney, you know. And so sometimes these buttons get put out kind of as a wish. Oh, we wish Nixon would pick Rhodes as his running mate. So that's what I think that button is about. I don't know. You guys have anything?
He never was.
Any other theory here on that?
I think it's more than a theory. In 1964, Life magazine came out with a cover because it was uncertain who Lyndon Johnson was going to pick. Would it be McCarthy? Would it be Humphrey? There were about eight different people that were pictured with Lyndon Johnson. They did have the right one, the Johnson-Humphrey pin. And even Robert Kennedy, the Johnson-Kennedy thing was probably the most valuable out of that. Out of this, in 68, the same company that made pins in 1964 did this for the Republicans in 68 because it wasn't certain who Nixon was going to pick. Rather surprisingly, they made one for Nixon Agnew. They did hit who the choice was going to be. But they also did Nixon Reagan. The Nixon Reagan pin from 68 is the best, the most valuable. That one goes $100, $150, whereas the Nixon Agnew pin is a $5, $10 item because they produced thousands of them afterwards.
And, and what if Rhodes had been the running mate? Would he have advised Nixon in 71, 72? Now, don't get involved in this Watergate thing now. Don't do that. How would history? It's just fun to conjecture this kind of stuff.
Right. We are talking about buttons and political memorabilia. The American Political Items Collectors National Convention begins today in downtown Columbus. If you want to learn more about that, you can go to our link at WOSU.org/allsides. Joining us, Al Anderson and Jack Dixie. They're co-chairmen of the American Political Items Collectors National Convention. And also Bill Cohen, correspondent for the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau and an avid political item collector. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm Wade Goodwin. Coming up on the next On Point, states push back on the implementation of the Obama health care law, rejecting the expansion of Medicaid. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
And On Point begins this afternoon at 1 on 89.7 NPR News. 80 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunshine today warming up to a high of 87. Clear skies tonight, a low of 62. More sunshine on Thursday with a high of 90 degrees.
Support for 89.7 comes from Montgomery & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, offering perspective in a time of economic uncertainty to help grow and maintain wealth. Details at themontgomerysolution.com.
All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We are talking about political memorabilia. The American Political Items Collectors National Convention begins today. Correction, it's in North Columbus near Worthington, not in downtown Columbus, just so you know. If you want to learn more about it, go to our website at WOSU.org/allsides. And sorry about that confusion. With us, Al Anderson and Jack Dixie. They're co-chairman of the American Political Items Collectors National Convention, and also Bill Cohen. You know Bill. He is a correspondent for the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau, and he is also an avid political item collector. If you have a question or comment for our guests, if you have a button or a political memorabilia of some sort that you care about and are curious about, maybe they can help you. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to the All Sides with Dan Fisher Facebook page and post your question or comment there. Now, you mentioned earlier on, I think, Jack, you mentioned that political buttons as we know them today haven't always been around. And I was surprised to hear in the movie National Treasure, and I know it's just a movie, but they date back to the very first election. But they weren't buttons as we know them today. They didn't have the metal pins and all of that kind of. But there were buttons of a fashion going back to the beginning.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, they did Washington inaugural buttons, which were actual buttons to be worn on a coat or a jacket.
Real buttons, like cuff buttons.
Correct.
Or something. Okay.
Yes, they would be brass with the loop in the back to be used as a clothing button, which it didn't really commemorate. It was more of a commemoration of the inauguration as opposed to an actual campaign piece.
Because they really didn't campaign back then, for
right.
one thing, right?
Right?
And it wasn't until around the Civil War period when the campaign started to take off.
1828.
You
figure around then a lot of ribbons were produced. Photography hadn't really been developed at that point. So there would be printed engravings of a candidate applied to a brass shell, that type of item. And then when we got into the development of photography, you had tintypes, you had printed photos and such used on lapel pieces. It wasn't until 1896 when they actually made a celluloid button as we know it today.
Is there any theories about what buttons work? You know, whether if they have the right colors on them, they tend to be red and blue or green sometimes, a lot of red. Are there any particular colors that jump out, or is it just every color in the rainbow? Jack?
Kind of interesting as far as oftentimes the red, white, and blue theme, especially in the last five decades, seemed to be very popular. And I think Jimmy Carter kind of changed that with the green being his color in 76, that was really the only change, big change in colors. But of course, the graphics of the turn of the century, the 1900 buttons, the graphics certainly have a great appeal to the collectors as far as having a cartoon image of an elephant and have the candidates in the ears of the elephant. A lot of graphics become very appealing to the collectors.
Jack's right about, you know, red, white, and blue. You can't go wrong with red, white, and blue. Although once in a while, you know, an Irish candidate would use green. Carter used green. Former state representative Shoemaker, Mike Shoemaker, his district included Circleville. So all his buttons are orange, the Circleville Pumpkin Show.
Okay.
So, but, you know, it takes a special candidate to risk going with an unusual color. That's a brave candidate.
Sam and Bucyrus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Sam.
Good morning. Yeah, I have a political button. I think it's Wilson from Indiana, I believe. And it was it's wrapped in the inaugural invitation to his inauguration, and it's addressed to a lady. And it's got the actual invitation there, and it's a political button along with his vice president candidate. And I called the Wilson Institute, I believe it was in Indiana one time, and asked them if it was any of interest to them. And they wanted me to bring it up and let them look at it, but it's quite a bit of a distance from my home. So you think there's still an interest for this button and with the inauguration in it?
You're saying that it's Woodrow Wilson, or are you saying Wendell Willkie? Wendell Willkie.
No, Woodrow Wilson, the one
Woodrow
that started
Wilson.
The one is the League of Nations, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Correct. It's his. It's the inaugurational invitation, and it's numbered. I think it's 1049. It's addressed to a lady, and it's wrapped in an envelope, and it's still got the, you know, the envelope it came in from the presidential commission, whatever it does, and it's got the button of him and his vice president. Okay, wrapped inside. It's in tissue.
Mm-hmm. And again, just for clarification, as far as the Indiana connection, I guess that's not fitting into Wilson per se. Are you saying that it was addressed to a lady in Indiana?
Yeah, it's addressed to a lady in Indiana, but I don't know if he was from Indiana, because there is a Wilson Institute, and I think it's located in Indiana.
Hmm. Yeah, but Woodrow Wilson, he'd been the president of Princeton University, and he was in New Jersey.
Oh,
But still— inaugural invitations are collectible. People have them, and I'm thinking earliest ones that I can recall back to Cleveland or Harrison. I don't really remember any Lincoln inaugural invitations, but they had to be some. But
I think if you would look in the Dixie collection, you would find the 1850 the 1856 invitation. And yes.
Okay. The answer is yes or
yes. Yes, and the value of the pin is going to be depending on the design, the color, but particularly size. And I think isn't there a line something about size matters, and it applies to political items, and usually especially on these early pins, if they're larger size, they're worth more.
That
more
would
money.
Be a very interesting item to bring to the convention. I think you may be pleased, or the possibility would exist that you would be pleased as to what that item could be valued at. And if it's something that if you care to keep it, that's fine. If you would want to part with it, I think you would probably find several people interested in it. Again, judging it from your description, condition is a factor. There's several factors to be involved. So come and see us.
CM, thanks for your call.
Up to the Crown Plaza.
Okay.
Right.
No.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah. Check. Yeah. Okay.
Take. All right.
Take
thank
care.
You.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
614-292-8513. That's the number to call if you want to join the conversation. We're talking about political memorabilia. If you have some, you have a question about something you own, give us a call. Joining us today, Jack Dixie, co-chairman, and also his fellow co-chairman, Al Anderson, of the organization, the American Political Items Collectors National Convention, are here to answer your questions, along with Bill Cohen, an avid political item collector in Columbus, also a correspondent for the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau. The number is 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I wanted to ask something related to what Sam was asking about just now. When you have a collection of things, in other words, maybe you have a button, and maybe you have an invitation. There's a whole story behind it. You have an invitation. Maybe that the woman who received the invitation was a volunteer or something like that for the campaign, and you can tell that story. Does that make it more valuable too?
I would say, as far as the Indiana connection, there are collectors from Indiana that would be more interested, maybe, than just the button itself or just the invitation itself. If it would be researched, and of course the internet has made it so advantageous to mm-hmm. do research on names that seem so obscure, but if this lady was the wife of the governor of Indiana, that type of connection would certainly add to the interest to the collector.
Okay. And what a nice display it would make. You know, Al has one of these things, I think you call them butterfly boxes. They're, you know, a flat box that you can put items in. And what a great display it would be to have the invitation and then some Woodrow Wilson buttons. And then if this woman happened to be a volunteer or as a student, if she wrote an essay on why Woodrow Wilson should be elected, mm-hmm. and they put that in there. I mean, so that the whole display would tell a personal story.
Antoinette in Mount Vernon, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Antoinette.
Hi. I have a George Wallace for President button from 1968. It's red, white, and blue, and it's not too big.
How's George Wallace doing these days?
Well, who knows?
Well, I mean,
he
as
didn't
far
do
as
too well then.
As far as buttons go, Al?
George Wallace he didn't get a lot of electoral votes and didn't do terribly well. But boy, his supporters certainly kept an awful lot of his pins, so that the Wallace pins are around. And unless you have an awfully, awfully unusual one, I hate to guess, but I think it's probably worth about a quarter.
Oh, goody. I couldn't even mail it anywhere.
But there's still a great story, and there's a great Columbus angle, because his running mate was Kurt LeMay, a World War II military hero, graduate of South High School, I believe. And one of his, you know, bombs away with Kurt LeMay, he said, you know, we should get tough in Vietnam, don't withdraw the troops, perhaps even use nuclear weapons. So it was a clear alternative to some of the other points of view there in the late 60s.
I think the line, Bill, was bomb them back to the Stone Age.
That's true. That was one of the,
wow.
Yeah, you heard that.
Okay,
yeah.
Antoinette, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Take care. Bye-bye. Steve in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Yeah, thank you for taking the call. I have a question about memorabilia that I found. But first, a political junkie question for Bill Cohen. Myers Y. Cooper was the Republican candidate for governor in Ohio in what year?
Oh, boy, I don't think. That's probably the 20s, I would think.
Well, that's
a little before my time.
I have a cardboard container of sewing needles, which it's for the election of November 6, 1928,
mm-hmm.
and on the front is for President Herbert Hoover, for Governor Myers Herbert Hoover, and for Governor Myers Y. Cooper. And then inside, you open up, and there are the sewing needles. It's a complete set of sewing needles, it says, stick to the Republican Party.
Okay.
And then inside is a list for president and vice president and governor. Then, interesting, it says, for U.S. Senator long-term, parentheses, Simeon D. Fess, and then for U.S. Senator short-term, parentheses, Theodore E. Burton. I wouldn't know what long-term and short-term that were, and then a list for the different officers of the slate.
I think Al can tell you something.
Al Anderson, tell us what you know about this.
Okay, well, we've auctioned this a number of times, and sounds like you have one in really good condition. $30-$40 if the condition is very, very good. And people like to see, too, with a complete set of the needles that they were right there and all that. And what happened was, and I don't remember who the senator was who died, but there was a vacancy in one of the Senate seats. So that was the short term to complete the vacancy from the senator who passed away. And the long term was the regular 1928 seat that came up for that election.
And it sounds like the button you have is kind of what we call a coattails button. In other words, you have your candidate for president, and then you hope that candidate is going to be so strong he's going to help sweep into office people lower down in the ticket. So you might have a U.S. Senate candidate or a governor candidate. That's your coattails button.
Thanks, Steve, for the call.
Oh, yeah. Thank you much. Bye.
Bye-bye. Now, that's an example of swag. Stuff that you can use that has the candidate's name on it. Nowadays, you get all kinds of stuff. It changes over time. Were needles and those kinds of things popular back in the day, or are there different eras of, I mean, is it water bottles now and, you know, combs, files, there's all nail files?
Well, I would say one of the examples of what you're heading to, I guess, would be the popularity of the automobile. To have an automobile going down the road and have a license plate or a license plate attachment that would say Herbert Hoover on it, the metal, pressed metal license plate attachments became very popular when the automobile became very popular. That has progressed into being bumper stickers. They no longer make them or inexpensively make them as metal small mobile signs,
mm-hmm.
But the advent of the automobile in the 20s and the 30s, there are collectors that specialize in license plate and license plate attachments with candidates' slogans, candidates' names, candidates' pictures.
Chris, maybe we should have a psychologist on this show, because I've always wanted to know, okay, so I see that you have a bumper sticker, you're for Herbert Hoover, or you're wearing a button that says vote for Herbert Hoover, or a yard sign, or whatever. That's going to make me vote for Herbert Hoover? I don't know. I don't know if these things really help a candidate. I don't know what they do. I guess they energize the base. They are a little reward for candidates.
If you have enough
volunteers.
Signs out, sometimes you get the feeling that, yeah, I would imagine it energizes the base, or it makes you think, wow, a lot of people in my neighborhood support.
Yeah, but does that make you, I mean, if you're for the other candidate,
no.
Does that make you want to switch sides? No. So it's just a kind of a weird thing. Jim Petro, a few years ago, running for governor, he had like 12 different pins. Slovak Americans for Petro, mm-hmm. Arab Americans for Petro, Ukrainian Americans for Petro. He had 12 different buttons. He didn't even win the primary. So, you know, I don't know. I love buttons, but they don't necessarily work.
And except for conventions, you don't really see people walking around with buttons on.
Not anymore. And the point Bill just made, they don't spend much money on them. The purpose of buttons today are to sell at rallies or at headquarters. You're not converting people. It is really to energize your own base out there and for them to feel good about the candidate. And a lot of people just struggle because the free campaign pin is gone. That just doesn't happen. They aren't going to spend much money on that sort of thing. Most of them, except at major rallies for the political party.
They sell them.
And they'll sometimes sell them, but they'll give them away, too, where they're talking, especially for the primary races, where they're all Democrats or all Republicans there, and they want to get their name and their message out. Because name recognition is so key for how people vote in the primaries as well as the general election.
It used to be state representative candidates, state senate candidates, they put out buttons, but I think their advisors are now saying, don't spend money on that. We need to save our money for those 30-second TV ads.
Well,
that is
expensive.
What does influence people.
Buttons are not cheap. I mean, all things being equal.
Correct. And again, in the progression of license plates and buttons, the money is now spent on radio and TV and on media. Something of the 50s, the Adlai Stevenson buttons that actually have a graphic around the picture of Stevenson that looks like a TV screen. The money is now spent in media as opposed to buttons. The longevity, however, I may add, the longevity of the auto connection to this. Even on the way here, I saw several Ford tags on the automobiles that we were seeing coming down the road. I guess there would be a cross connection of Gerald Ford.
The American Political Items Collectors National Convention begins today in North Columbus. If you want to know more about it, you can go to our link at our website at WOSU.org/allsides. We're talking about political memorabilia this hour. If you have a question or comment for our guests, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@WOSU.org. Right now, I have to say farewell to Bill Cohen, correspondent for the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau and a political item collector. Bill, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
When we return, we'll continue the conversation with Al Anderson and Jack Dixie, co-chairman of the American Political Items Collectors National Convention. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Primary results from Texas and Georgia. Team Romney competes in London. Bill Clinton takes a primetime slot at the DNC. And Dick Cheney calls the choice of Sarah Palin a mistake. I'm Neil Conan. Political junkie Ken Rudin rates the best and worst vice presidential candidates. Join us to hear where Palin and Cheney wind up. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation this afternoon from 2 until 4 on 89.7 NPR News. And if you're looking for an easy way to support our station, how about joining our Sustaining Giving program? As a sustainer, your membership never expires. No more reminders in the mail, and your member card renews annually. The ongoing support of sustaining members saves 89.7 NPR News time and money and helps us focus more of your support on news programming. Make every dollar count. Become a sustainer today. Visit WOSU.org/sustainer to sign up. 80 degrees in downtown Columbus. Sunshine today, warming up to a high of 87. Clear skies tonight, a low of 62. Sunny for Thursday, a high of 90. Partly cloudy Thursday night, a low of 68 degrees. And for the latest from All Sides with Ann Fisher, be sure to visit our website, WOSU.org/allsides. You can also follow All Sides on Facebook and follow Ann on Twitter at Ann Fisher, WOSU. And the program continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We are talking about political memorabilia. The American Political Items Collectors National Convention begins today in Columbus. For more information, WOSU.org/allsides. We'll have a link there for you. We also have pictures of the buttons that are in our studio right now on our Facebook page. If you want to go and see what's going on in the studio, go to the Facebook page and check out some of the political memorabilia we have in the studio today with our guests, Al Anderson and Jack Dixie. They are co-chairman of the American Political Items Collectors National Convention. Questions or comments for them, give us a call, 614-292-8513. And Bill in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have a question. I have a little, it's not exactly a button, it's kind of a medallion, and it's got a hole at the top as though it was hung on a ribbon or whatever, and it includes a daguerreotype or tintype or something of Abraham Lincoln on one side and Hannibal Hamlin on the other. And it says, free speech on one side, free soil and free men on the other. I'm wondering about the rarity and value and how to preserve it.
Al Anderson?
Okay, though, you really have a good one. Now, in the hobby, they're called ferrotypes. They were the images were put on iron, the condition is incredibly important. You really don't have to do a whole lot with it except keep it out of the light. The sunlight is damaging to it and so forth. But that's a prized item from 1860. And if you're tired of it, there will be plenty of people at the show who'd be interested in buying it from you.
But again, the condition is going to be the factor. You can have a lot of Lincoln items were saved because of, his assassination and his popularity. So there are a lot of Lincoln items, but there are also a lot of Lincoln item collectors. Again, condition is going to be the key as far as value-wise, as far as preserving it. Even to have a little glass case to put it in would protect it. Again, keep it out of the light. But bring it up to the Crown Plaza, and we'd be glad to give you a fair appraisal.
Does that help, Bill?
What are the hours of the convention, and does it cost money to get in and look around, or how does that work?
Okay, the convention, if you come out there today, will be available for what we call room hopping and so on. But tomorrow, the show will be opening at 9 a.m., going until 5 p.m., and then on Friday, it will be from noon
until 5.
And then Saturday, it will be 10 a.m. to 2. Now, there's $5 admission on Thursday and Friday. It is free on Saturday.
Okay, Bill.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for your call. Elaine in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. You have an idea about why buttons are helpful?
Yes. In my family, we've had memorabilia that does go back probably not more than 50 years, but it's always sparked a conversation about who is this candidate, why did that member of our family support them, and what were the positions. And we get into the history of politics, which connects into the history of our country. And so from the perspective of old memorabilia, it's a good history lesson that oftentimes people can relate to current events. And then as far as current buttons or bumper stickers, that sort of thing, oftentimes I see where that will spark a conversation. Oh, I see you have a such and such button. Why do you support that candidate? What about his position on this? And then you get to, verbally support your candidate mm-hmm. and possibly expose people to different ideas your candidate has that they may not be aware of. So in the real life, outside of the technological media, when you are talking face-to-face with people, I think it's very valuable in getting some information about your candidate across.
Okay. Well, thank you, Elaine, for the call.
Sure. Bye.
Bye. Conversation starter, certainly. Most people keep them in boxes and drawers and that they never look at. And do you ever come across a treasure trove when someone just sort of brings in a box of buttons they've collected over the years, or they find something in Grandpa's attic?
Well, one of the favorite stories about our hobby, and it was a California National Convention, and literally a fellow was about ready to lose his house, couldn't pay for it, and actually was legally blind, and he had a number of John W. Davis pins, which Davis ran for president in 1924, and he hoped he maybe would get $500 for this group of pins. He left our convention after the Seattle rule with over $20,000. Now, not everybody wins the lottery like that, but it's a true story. It was a great story, and it was something that really made me pretty proud of our hobby to help somebody like that.
Seth in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Seth.
Hi there. Yeah, I'm calling. I have a pretty extensive Nixon collection, but one of the, you mentioned the Rhodes and the Reagan co-buttons. I have a, I believe in my collection at Nixon Romney, which was, it was one of the set of the potential vice president picks.
Right. We mentioned those earlier. Did you hear us talking about those?
Well, the Romney. You didn't mention Romney, I don't believe. Did you?
Well, yeah. Well, it was right. There was also John Lindsay.
But I think well, what the caller's point is, with it being the Romney connection,
right.
With
okay.
Mitt Romney running, of course, this is his father
right.
That's pictured on this button.
Right.
And there has been a resurgence of interest in his father's
right.
and his
exactly.
mother. His mother ran for political
Lenore
office.
Was ran for governor of Michigan. But no, the whole they, Romney name is
his wife ran for governor of Michigan too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
after he was governor.
Yes,
interesting.
Just like George Wallace.
I grew up in Michigan. I didn't know that. I was that's interesting. Okay,
I didn't know that either.
What do you know? I mean, see, here we go. We started the whole conversation off, Seth, by saying it gets you talking about and learning more about history.
Right. I also have it's a water can, like a beer can or a pop can, which you had to either open with a can opener or it may be pull tab. I haven't seen it for a while. It's packed away. But it was a gold water. It
right.
was canned water. It said for the conservative taste on it. So I think that's a pretty unique item.
Yes, and it's still a popular collectible. There was Gold Water and Johnson Juice. Both of them were made in 1964, the same company. But the Gold Water was clearly more appropriate and more collected.
And it tastes better.
Okay. Any idea what that might bring in?
They're looking at each other. They're
possibly,
Jack?
Possibly in excellent condition. Possibly $20.
Okay.
The Johnson Juice. It's a blue can with a donkey on it. That is considerably scarcer.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. All right, Seth.
Well,
thanks very much. You bet. Thank you. We have an email from Brad. He says, I have a green Obama button, a larger button, that someone told me was the first button the campaign put out when he started his run. It was in Chicago. How can I find out the value on the internet? Just can you look those things up? Do you have any recommendations for people to look on the internet?
One of the things we do have subchapters of collectors. For example, there is an Obama chapter. There is also a Bush chapter, and they will be meeting on Friday morning.
Correct.
And their people will be there. The Obama for State Senate pin, which was really, really early. I think that was one he lost or something to, I can't remember, Bobby somebody. That he anyhow, that pin has brought an awful lot of money, so much money that it has been reproduced and there are fakes on it. And that brings up a whole area that unfortunately you do have to watch out for reproductions and fakes.
My concern with the description, the caller's description, you had mentioned that it is green.
Mm-hmm. What was it? It's an email from Brad. Yeah,
an email.
A larger button.
Okay. I don't think, at least the state Senate button is blue and white.
Yeah, they said this was for the first one for his presidential campaign when it started in Chicago. So, I mean, yeah, I suppose once again, if you can get somebody from that,
right,
that chapter or that that part of the organization who happens to be there, they could
right.
have a better idea about.
Even in 2004, when Obama gave a speech at Boston, John Kerry's campaign, that really was the first time that I had heard Barack Obama speak. I never really even heard of Barack Obama prior to that. But the night that he spoke, everyone was so impressed with his presentation that the next morning there were buttons that were offering Kerry and Obama for vice president. Certainly an unofficial button, but those were being produced. The button manufacturers go to these
just
conventions and let's make sure we've covered all bases. That would be considered one of his earliest buttons running for president. In that case, would be vice president in 2004.
Carol in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I have I think it's like a piece of jewelry or a tie tack. Type pin that is a little kind of elephant wearing glasses that are kind of strung over its snout and loop up behind its ears. And I was told it may be Goldwater.
It is absolutely Goldwater.
Okay.
And from 1964 and usually, I don't know, I guess it could have been also used on a tie tack. I always thought they're probably primarily lapel pins.
Mm.
But again, and there's a number of different little versions and designs, but $5 to $10 kind of item.
Right.
Okay. All right. Carol, thanks for your call. Take care. You know, it makes me think about all the political party memorabilia that are out there, just the elephants and the donkeys and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's just amazing at the conventions, the stuff you can buy. Is any of that, I mean, are there collectors of that sort of thing? Or is it usually associated with a candidate?
As far as people collecting
right.
elephants or donkeys,
mm-hmm.
there are people that will collect a specific, you know, I collect only Republican or only Democrat items. And there's certainly a variety of that type, especially in dimensional pieces, 3D pieces of statuary, figurines, that type of thing. That is a collectible.
Well, there aren't any rules that how you should collect. There isn't a specific number of pins made. You can always keep collecting. There was one of our legendary collectors was a labor lawyer in Chicago who had worked for Franklin Roosevelt. And Joe Jacobs would say, Al, I got about 10 items this year. It was wonderful, but I found out another 20 exists that I don't have.
Right.
And it was always like that. You know, you can keep on collecting expansively, and you can define if you want to just stay with one candidate. I have people won election all 1968. It's talked about earlier, what a popular election that was. Only Republican, only Democrat. One fellow who's at the convention, he collects vote pins. Anything that says vote.
Hmm. It's a nonpartisan collector.
Just okay. Correct. All right. Gail in Clintonville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Gail.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. I have a Spiro T. Agnew dartboard with a few darts. Now, of course, the face is not in perfect condition, but I was.
It's used.
Yes, it's used. Okay. I got it back in the 70s. And it is it's like a cork board kind of material. And I think I have like two or three darts that go with it. I was just wondering how
prevalent
many of those might be in existence,
okay.
Spiro Agnew dart boards.
I would say there are several varieties of that, of what you're describing. Would you happen to have the packaging that was around it?
No.
There is one variety that I have seen the packaging around it, and it was typical early 70s, what do we want to say, psychedelic or hippie type of graphics on the packaging, which certainly enhances the value or the appeal to it. As far as the dartboard itself with Agnew, maybe a $20 to $30 piece. Is there anything on the back possibly? As
no,
far as another candidate, or
okay. I have no box or anything
okay.
like that. But it's just a black and white photograph of him.
Right.
It's not psychedelic.
Okay.
All right, Gail. Thanks for your call.
Uh-huh.
Take care.
Bye.
We have an email from Dave. It's a little long, but we'll try to get to it. We're running out of time. On the day of the 2008 presidential election, in a very small campaign office, I was helping with a get out the vote effort. Around lunchtime, I carried two sandwiches from a restaurant to the two staff members in the basement office below the restaurant. For this effort, I was given an Obama Comfort Captain button, which I still have. Upon further investigation, I understand that these were handed out only on the day of the election and usually only to volunteers who had put considerably more time and effort into organizing large spreads of food for many more campaign workers than I had. I have been unable to find any dealers online that list this button in their collections. Any additional information on this button's history, its desirability as a collectible would be much appreciated.
Okay, well, we've been auctioning Obama pins pretty regularly from 2008, and we've had some that have brought, I mean, more than a few that have brought $50 or $100 because they're limited issue and special cases and things. This sounds like one of those kind. I don't recall having seen it. Again, if you can get there Friday to the Obama chapter, and some of those Obama collectors would certainly be able to give you a better idea.
Okay. We're running out of time now. Brad, thanks for that email. And I want to say thanks to my guest, Jack Dixie. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
And also Al Anderson. Al, thanks for joining us.
It was wonderful. Appreciate it.
Jack and Al, they are co-chairmen of the American Political Items Collectors National Convention. It's in town this weekend. If you want to learn more, go to our website at WOSU.org/allsides. I also understand there's been more postings of buttons on our Facebook page. Check that out. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.